Psalm 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace. Psalm 12:6. Would you open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, number 9, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. As always, realizing the importance of being in fellowship with our Lord as we study His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice in the fact that we are Your children, saved by Your grace, with the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. Also knowing that while we're here on the earth, that You have a purpose and plan for us. Help us to be aware of the fact that we can advance and grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that the way to do that is for us to be perceptive to Your Word, find ourselves on a day-by-day basis in harmony, receiving the mind of Jesus Christ, then utilizing that wonderful information that we receive from Your Word so that we can be the type of effective witnesses that we should be for You. We thank You that You've given us life. We've given us eternal life. You've given us so many logistical provisions of life. We're thankful for all the blessings that You give us day by day. And we ask that You'll be with us now in these moments of study, that we'll have reception of heart, mind, and soul, that we'll be able to take the things we're learning, utilize, and apply them. We pray and thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. You see these verses now on the screen. Verse 19 of chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that your body is the shrine, temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own. And then verse 20, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We've already analyzed these verses of Scripture, but we look at them again. When we take a look at 1 Corinthians 6:20, we have an emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth to be the God-man and to pay for the sins of all humanity. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. As you all know, I am always interested in how the verbs are used in a verse of Scripture. And you'll notice that where it says you are bought with a price, there's a passive voice which says that we, you and I are recipients of having been bought. God does the purchasing. We're bought with a price. Jesus Christ was willing to pay that supreme price. And because of what He's done, we have life eternal. You're bought with a price, and then our responsibility is given to us now. Therefore, glorify, and the word is doxa, which is the word for glory. The way that it is used here is that it is our responsibility to, at points of time, to put forth the action. It's a command that we do it, that we glorify God in our bodies. And so we have an emphasis here upon the responsibility that we have as born-again believers. As you all know, the emphasis of our study right now is the indwelling Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you, if you will, though, to go to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. If you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, let's look at what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Roman believers. By the Spirit of God. What shall we say then? This is Romans 6, verse 1. Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. Abolish the thought. never think that way. Whatever terminology you want to use there, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? How shall we who died to sin still live in it? What we have here is an emphasis upon the fact that the Apostle Paul is aware, and you and I are aware, that we still have, after salvation, an old sinful nature. And so the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul, some of these people were of the opinion that if you receive grace when you sin, then sin more and you'll get more grace. Now, we know better than that. That's not exactly, and that is not at all what the Lord is saying. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us, now look at verse 3, were baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death. Therefore we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. This is a magnificent passage of scripture when we look at verse 4. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death. And this is not a water baptism. This is the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings us into the family of God. Now we're studying this magnificent subject. You've already seen the definition, but we look at it again. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit coming to make his residence inside the believer at the moment that the person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You'll probably notice that I've included the words Savior and Lord, because a lot of people are of the opinion that you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and then you have the responsibility of making him Lord as you move through life. Jesus Christ has already been established as the Lord of our lives, and we must see that, and that comes as a result of our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit, coming to set up his residence inside the believer's life at the moment that the person accepts Christ as Savior and Lord. And we've already looked at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, which I put on the screen for you again. Do you not know that you are a shrine, a temple of God, and the Spirit of God in you dwells? I don't want you to forget this passage of Scripture. It is very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are a temple, a shrine of God? And we've already emphasized the fact that this is a perfect tense verb, which simply says that this has happened in the past at the point of salvation. God works the miracle. We're the recipients of that miracle. God does it. Active voice. Indicative mood is the mood of reality. And we're to know this. We're to be aware of the fact that God has done this for us, and that the Spirit of God in you continues to dwell. Now, let's move along with the information that we have, again, on the subject of the indwelling Holy Spirit. I want to assure you that I have a lot of information. We're not going to go very far. We're going to go slowly. And I'm going to assure you that even though I have 23 pages of information, we're not going to go through all of those pages. I want to go slowly enough so that you can understand exactly what we're trying to emphasize. So we're going to look at it, first of all, the definition and description. Number one, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer at the moment of salvation. That's what we have in the verses that we've looked at, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, and 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Let's pause for a moment on number one. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer at the moment of salvation. I don't know what all this does to you, but I trust that you are aware of the fact that this is an important factor in the life of a believer. And that is to comprehend and understand the fact that as a result of having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that we are the recipients of imputed righteousness and that Christ dwells in us. It's powerful to know that Christ dwells in us. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of Christ, the body of the church-age believer, at the moment of salvation. And so you and I, because of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, have become the recipients of regeneration. Regeneration makes a difference in us. In other words, that's the time when God moves into us and changes us from a person without hope, without God in this world, as a dichotomous person, body and soul, to a trichotomous body, soul, and spirit person. So the definition of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer at the very moment that the person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. Number two, the indwelling of the Spirit is one of the six permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit in salvation. The purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in the body of every church age believer for the indwelling of Jesus Christ as what we call the Shekinah glory and the indwelling of God, the Heavenly Father. So let's look at number two again and be sure we get this down. The indwelling of the Spirit is one of the six permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. And the purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in the body of every church age believer for the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory and the indwelling of God the Father. Now, please notice that I have some sub-points here. There are no sacred buildings in the church age. I was trying to emphasize that in the first session this morning. No matter how beautiful the building is, no matter how ornate the building is, no matter how much money has been spent in constructing these buildings, there are no sacred buildings in the church age. In other words, we've said this before, we say it again, that the body is the sanctuary, not the church building. So the only sacred building was the temple in Jerusalem, which belonged to Israel and was destroyed in 70 AD. God the Holy Spirit makes a sacred building out of your body for the indwelling of God the Son and God the Father. This to me is just the most amazing thought in the world, to realize what God has done. When God comes to you and me as individuals and makes us a sanctuary. Can you believe that? God sets us up as a sanctuary, a temple of the Holy Spirit. We can say that a thousand different ways, but I want you to comprehend how powerful that is. There are no sacred buildings in the church age. The only sacred building was the temple in Jerusalem, which belonged to Israel and was destroyed in 70 AD. God the Holy Spirit makes a sacred building out of your body, my body, for the indwelling of God the Son and God the Father. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is also a sign of the fact that we're members of the royal family, which is superior to being in the family of God as a believer in the past dispensations. In the millennium, for instance, all believers are filled with the Holy Spirit, but no millennial believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now you have to chew on that a while, think about it, but it's very important to see. There was no indwelling of the Holy Spirit under the church age. Believers in the Old Testament were empowered by the Holy Spirit at times. We have in throughout the Old Testament endowment, empowerment of the power of God in the lives of individuals. We live, I believe, and I put it down here, on the best side of history, which is after the cross. Therefore, we are royal family to complement Christ's battlefield royalty. We receive 6 additional ministries of the Holy Spirit of salvation. For instance, efficacious grace, regeneration, the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. By the way, in the future, we're going to deal with some of these subjects as related to the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, the filling of the Holy Spirit, baptism, and so forth. Number 4, while no believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit in other dispensations, all believers are indwelt with the Holy Spirit in the church age. Let's say that over again. While no believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit in other dispensations, all believers are indwelt by means of the Holy Spirit in the church age. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in other dispensations was technically endowment of the Holy Spirit. For example, David said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." You probably remember that in Psalm 51, verse 11. It's important for us to get this into our thinking. The difference between how the power of God worked and the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament and how God works now in the age of grace. Number 5, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every believer, but only controls the soul of the believer under the title, the filling of the Holy Spirit, or as we have read, walking in the Spirit. You and I have the responsibility on a day-by-day basis of having our sins confessed, be cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can properly utilize the grace system of comprehension, receive the Word of God, metabolize, utilize, make application of the truth of God on a day-by-day basis. This simply means that when we're doing this, God will set up for us what we would classify as divine appointments. Have you ever realized, I'm sure all of you have, where you were going through life in harmony with the Lord, just having a great time, and not knowing, but all of a sudden something takes place and you have a unique experience in life, and when you look back on it at a later time, you say, "Wow, isn't that interesting how that happened?" And you realize that that was a divine appointment. God did it for you. He allowed you, while you were in fellowship, while you were in harmony, going through life on a normal basis, not even thinking about the fact that this was going to happen, and then all of a sudden you met someone, you talked to someone, someone came into your life, something happened to you, and you were able to give a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and when it was all said and done, you look back upon it, and you said, "Now, wasn't that something?" And you didn't take glory for that. You didn't take the honor for that. You realized that it was a divine appointment. God did it. And it was wonderful how He did it. Now, if I gave opportunity for you to give testimony to that fact, many of you, most of you, could tell one experience after another where God has utilized your life in that manner. So we have an emphasis then upon the difference between how the Spirit of God worked in the Old Testament and how God works now in relationship to us. Number 5 again, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every believer, but only controls the soul of the believer under the filling of the Holy Spirit, or what the Bible says by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, walking in the Spirit. Number 6, it is important to distinguish between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is permanent, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is temporary, depending on the use of the restoration technique. Now, what I've done in recent days, I have listened every day to Les Feldick, interesting fellow. I enjoy hearing what he has to say, and I'm learning some things about the fact that there are other verses of Scripture in the Bible that deal with 1 John 1:9. and that is restoration to fellowship. Some of you are listening to him and you're enjoying it. It's important to distinguish between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is permanent, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is temporary, depending on the use of the restoration technique. When you and I sin, we lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. We do not lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we've seen again the difference between the Word, permanent on the one hand, temporary on the other hand. Number 7, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of the believer because the old sin nature lives in the body of the believer also. Now, isn't that something? The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the believer because the old sin nature lives in the body of the believer. In other words, in the life of every believer, human ability must be superseded by divine ability. We all know that, don't we? In other words, there is no way that we can live the Christian life in the energies of the flesh. So what we're saying here is, human ability must be superseded by divine ability. Therefore, the dynamics of the Holy Spirit are clearly important. Number 8. However, the actual use of divine power from the indwelling of the Spirit depends on the filling of the Holy Spirit rather than the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you time to think about what I'm saying. The actual use of divine power from the indwelling of the Spirit depends on the filling of the Holy Spirit rather than the indwelling of the Spirit. In other words, the indwelling is not operational apart from the filling. Very important for us to see that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent. We're not going to lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So what we're saying here is the actual use of divine power from the indwelling Holy Spirit depends on the filling of the Holy Spirit rather than the indwelling of the Spirit. The indwelling is not operational then apart from the filling. You have to chew on that a long time, think about it, and you'll realize how powerful it is to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. Number 9. Therefore, the believer must learn to distinguish between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. It is the filling of the Holy Spirit by which we deploy all the things that can solve the problems of life. In other words, to fulfill God's plan, we call it the protocol plan of God, to fulfill the plan of God. So what we're saying here is the filling of the Holy Spirit is the first power of the spiritual life. And without this divine power, it is impossible to execute this unique life plan that God has for us. God has a plan for us to be successful, to be triumphant, to be victorious, to be a winner. But we have to understand that we're not going to be a winner in life unless we, first of all, comprehend the importance of appreciating the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and then understand the importance of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? I'm trying to say a perfect plan demands perfect power for its fulfillment. What I'm trying to say here is the Christian way of life is a supernatural way of life and demands a supernatural means of execution. Do you see that? Which means anything the unbeliever can practice is not the Christian way of life. I believe you understand that. Okay. Well, how far should I go? How long do you want to stay? Number 10, the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit are not synonymous terms. The indwelling and the filling of the Holy Spirit are not synonymous terms. While the indwelling of the Holy Spirit emphasizes the body, the filling of the Holy Spirit emphasizes the believer's soul. Therefore, the sphere of indwelling is always stated as the body of the believer. And that's found in the verses we've already emphasized, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19 and 20. How can I say it? Your body and mine is a sacred building. During this church age, we are the sanctuary. I've been with people and they've gone into beautiful church buildings and they've said to me, "Isn't this a magnificent sanctuary?" And you know what? I stand there and I am not going to be ugly. And I'm going to take that guy by the shoulder and shake him and say, "Do you realize what you're saying?" I don't do that. I'm kinder than that. You may not realize it, but I'm real nice. And I don't say to that person, "You know what you're saying is not really right." You, as a born-again believer, you're the sanctuary. I'm the sanctuary. This building is not the sanctuary. It's beautiful, sure. Wonderful. Appreciate it. That's great. The indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit are not synonymous terms. While the indwelling of the Holy Spirit emphasizes the body, the filling of the Holy Spirit emphasizes the believer's soul. Therefore, the sphere of indwelling is always stated as the body of the believer. Your body is the sacred building of the church age. The indwelling makes it impossible for demons to possess the body. There's no such thing as a believer being demon-possessed. Do you see why? You can see it right here in these magnificent verses of Scripture. While both the indwelling and filling are absolutes, they cooperate with each other and are not antithetical. There are different types of absolutes. For instance, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is an irrevocable absolute. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a revocable absolute through carnality. I just feel like we ought to go home. I feel like if you can see this, it'll make all the difference in the world. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is an irrevocable absolute. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a revocable absolute through carnality. But the indwelling and filling are cooperating absolutes, which are when we are filled with the Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit controls the soul, the believer is said to be filled. And that time, we not only are filled, but we're filled with what the Bible says, we're filled with the Spirit. But when the sin nature controls the soul, the believer is said to be carnal. And then we can grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is both permanent and irrevocable, whether that believer is carnal or spiritual, winner, believer, or loser, believer. The filling of the Holy Spirit is temporary, depending on whether the believer is spiritual or carnal. The filling of the Holy Spirit is related to the believer's soul. When the sin nature takes over the believer's soul, then the believer is sinning. And we're on page 11 out of 23. The Lord willing, and the creek won't rise, and we come back on Wednesday night, we'll come back to page 11. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to open our hearts and minds to these magnificent truths. Help us to understand that while we're here on the earth, that you have a plan and a purpose for us, and we're to live our lives in accordance with your magnificent design. We're thankful for the wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that we can study these wonderful subjects related to the Spirit of God. And now as we leave here today, we pray that if there's someone hearing this message who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they would just do that right now, realizing that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We realize, and they must realize, that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. And so we pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus.